Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Draymond drama. Oh, it happened again. Wait until you see how Steph Curry responded. We've got a lot to say. Meanwhile, Jaden Daniels shows out his pro day. A smashing success once and for all. Is he QB1? And then wait until you hear everyone here tell you these two teams are going to do much less than you think they are. All that and a whole lot more. Let's go, people. It's a Thursday and it's time to get up here on ESPN. Delighted you were with us. Graziano is going to be busy this morning. We got football stories all over the place. Tim and Jay are ready to go. Basketball last night. Sweet 16 tonight. We'll talk about it. Orlovsky is up. Harry is up. Lewis Riddick will be with us shortly. Jessica Mendoza will be here shortly. But we start with the drama, the controversy of the night. Warriors, they need every win desperately. Playing Orlando last night. We're 3 minutes in. Magic with possession. Paolo Banchero, they're going to call a foul on Draymond here, and Leglery doesn't like it.
Bad call. Listen, I agree. It's a bad call. That's an incidental contact. But Draymond, he doesn't like it. Here, right after that, this play happens, and now Draymond Green loses complete control of his emotions.
That was 20 seconds later. Banchero driving on Andrew Wiggins. They call the foul on Wiggins. And so now we'll stay with it here, Jay, as he begins to argue, and then he just won't stop.
Yeah, I just don't know. He's making his case. But then afterwards, after he receives a tech, he continues to yap off at the mouth. And that's just when you know the ref is at his last call.
And at this moment, Steph needs to get him out of there. They don't. That's the technical, and now they get the second.
Let me just say something. Draymond Green in his career has said way more after the first technical than he ever has to lead up to the first. He just doesn't stop. He thinks that no one's going to have the nerve to toss him. Well, he ran into the wrong guy on the wrong night.
Look at Steph's reaction. Again, this is in the moments after it happened. Let me show you how the game ends, because Steph Curry finds a way to win the game with 30 seconds left in a five-point game. That's a dagger three, and you see how much it means to him.
Night to the baby.
Saying goodnight to the Magic, and this is a win they desperately needed. They need every win at this point. Look at the frustration in Steph after the game is over, just letting out the emotion one way or another. They find a way to get the win. There's Draymond after it's over. Let's hear from the folks and what they had to say.
All I say is we need him. He knows that. We all know that. So whatever it takes to keep him on the floor and be available, that's what's got to happen, especially at this point in the year. So it's a tough way to start the game.
Yeah, too bad. It was unfortunate. He deserved it. He'll bounce back. I'm just proud of the guys for stepping up.
And so we find ourselves here again today. And go ahead, guys. What are the right things to say? Tim, I'll let you start. What are the right things to say this morning about
this?
First of all,
I understand Curry and Kerr. Like, they're going gentle on him. That's kind of what you have to do, because this guy's still on the team and he is important. But that's just – it's too soft, their reaction, in my opinion, because this has gotten so old. This struck a chord with me. And we've seen this happen so many times. But last night struck such a nerve with me. And I have no dog in the fight. I'm just watching the game. The only word that popped in my head is selfish. This is a selfish move to do this to your team when they desperately have to have you. Every single night is critical to the Warriors right now. Steph Curry desperately wants to make the playoffs, and you get yourself tossed into 4 minutes because you just can't stop yourself. You can't put the emotional brake on after you've already been given a tee, which should be enough to quell this and get through the moment. But here's the thing with Draymond. He just truly believes that these guys don't have the nerve. You don't have the nerve to toss me. And at some point, you get a guy on a certain night, they've had enough. And I do appreciate Kerr saying, you deserved it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, because a lot of times they haven't said that in the past, and he absolutely did. That's just an absolute selfish move to leave your teammates out to dry on a night when you have to have a win.
I feel this. Sometimes we've all been in relationships where you get to a certain point where you're mentally exhausted and you say, I'm over it. Like, I'm over it. I'm done with it. And I kind of feel like Steph and Steve Kerr are at that point where they're over it. Look, Draymond Green is a very special player. Everybody understands that. But he pushes the envelope too far. And first off, why do you send your worst negotiator in to negotiate something that you know he has a horrible rate on negotiating?
Yeah.
Like, he's just not – that's not what he's good at. So I feel like this, to me, talks to inevitably what's going to happen. The writing's on the wall with the Golden State Warriors. It's just a matter of time of when this team has to blow up,
look,
in my opinion.
The last thing in the world I want to do is blame anyone else for something that he did. Clearly, this is on him first, last, and always. But there's like a 40-second span there after the first technical where he's still standing there yelling. Someone, I don't know who, needs to literally just grab him and start pulling him away. And they're all standing there and watching this. Again, I'm not blaming others for what he did wrong. But I'm saying they let him keep standing.
It's a car accident, though. Every single time. You rubberneck every single time. And every single time, Greeny. After a while, I'm tired of telling you stuff I've been telling you all the time. It's the same thing over and over and over again.
I agree with him, because I think what happens, just like you said, they're worn out. They're worn out even in the moment. They're worn out. They're worn out by this. Like, I don't feel like going over there right now and dealing with, number one, he's not going to respond to you in a positive way as a teammate. He's just not. He's going to take his arms. He's going to throw your arms off of him, continue to go back at the official. There's just no controlling the guy. What bothers me, I think, the most about Draymond is how, after the fact, and even in the moment, he's acting as if he's some sort of victim.
Yeah.
And that's the part that blows my mind. You're not a victim. You're not a victim. This is about you. And it's about putting your team first.
And also,
we've been through this too many times.
Look at the video when Steph is standing right there as if legs is straight.
Right here,
he's
right here. Going.
He's standing right. Steph Curry is checked out.
Yeah.
That's
why
I said it's like a relationship with somebody. Like the ups and downs, the waves, where you're like, oh, here we go. Okay. Just go ahead and do whatever the hell you have to do, man.
That's one of the few times I've seen Steph react like that in the moment. Right when it happened, Steph Curry was just standing there staring.
Off. That's what I'm saying.
Right into a crowd, like chewing on his mouthpiece, just staring. Then he bent over and Steve Kerr came over. It almost looked like Steph Curry was like physically ill, because Steph's saying, we're 4 minutes in. This is a really good team we're playing. We've got momentum right now. We're trying to hold off a team that's won 9 straight, now 10 straight, because Houston ended up winning that game last night. And he's saying, and now we got to do this without you. By the way, you're the primary guy to guard their best player.
Yeah.
Okay, and Kuminga wasn't playing either, who would be the second guy to guard Vaccaro. So now they're both out. And you just leave your team out there hanging. And it's great. He greets them at the locker room and does this and all that. Let's hug it out. I just can't imagine what's going through all of their heads, even in that moment.
By the way, all that stuff afterwards, where you give one of those,
yeah.
Like you could just tell
as
a former player, like, yeah, okay, I'm going to dap you, but we all know how I feel right now. And also, they're fighting for the 10th spot.
Yeah.
They're fighting for the 10th spot. Like, that's what's on the line right now. So, once again, love Draymond, but he continues to jeopardize his team.
Last point real quick. If this was something, and this happens sometimes in games, where what I say to you as an official is so inflammatory, right out of my mouth, you go 1-2, gone.
Right.
That's not what this was. How long did this last?
Yeah, that's my point.
How long did it last where you had a chance at any point? That referee did not want to throw him out of the game. He gave him no choice. You literally backed this guy into a corner where you gave him no choice other than to make that decision.
I agree with everything you guys are saying. It's a terrible situation all the way around. And again, they find a way to win the game to their everlasting credit. Jay and Tim are here all morning long. Lots of basketball, including the Sweet 16 tonight. So we'll get into all of that. In the meantime, the NFL news is coming at us fast and furious. Graziano, let's do Grazian notes if we can. Taking us through the teams, we have big draft plans. Let's start with the Giants. What do we know about what's going on there?
Giants are picking at number 6, and there's a lot of different things they could do. They could obviously use one of the receivers, and they could stay put and get him. But there's a lot of chatter at the owners' meetings earlier this week connecting the Giants to J.J. McCarthy as a player they're very interested in, the Michigan quarterback. The question, of course, becomes can they get him at 6, or would they need to move up to get him? And if that's the case, would that be worth it for them? But watch out for the Giants and J.J. McCarthy. That is something that's been mentioned to me by multiple people who are keeping track of the top of this draft. Further up, the Washington Commanders are at number 2. This is the Patriots. Excuse me. The Patriots are at number
3.
What are we doing? Patriots.
Here are the Patriots.
Three,
yep.
And they could stay put and take a quarterback, but they're going to get a lot of interest in that pick if, depending on what happens at number 1 and number 2. We assume Caleb Williams is going to the Bears at 1. If the Commanders take Jaden Daniels, does that lessen the interest of teams like the Raiders or the Vikings in coming up for the 3rd pick? If the Commanders take Drake May, does that make that 3rd pick more valuable? Would the Patriots consider trading it? And the Commanders, as I mentioned, are sitting there at number 2. I don't believe they know what they want to do yet, Greeny. I think, you know, people have put Jaden Daniels there, penciled him in. My understanding is they're still going through their process. They haven't made any final decisions. They'll be looking at Drake May today in Chapel Hill, just like they were looking at Jaden Daniels yesterday in Baton Rouge. And assuming Caleb Williams is the first pick to the Bears, the Commanders have a very important decision to make that, as I mentioned, could really affect what happens in the several picks that follow.
Absolutely. And to the last point you make there, the assumption that Caleb Williams goes number one is one that we all make. But I'm hearing more and more people, including our Lewis Riddick yesterday, making the case that actually Jaden Daniels should go number one. Listen.
If I'm Chicago right now, like, I'm seriously sitting there going, who do we take? Do we take this guy number one? This kid is special. This kid for me is QB1. And I think talking to the people around here who were here at this workout, where there was darn near every team was here today, I think there's a lot of people looking at this going, this kid may just be QB1.
It's fascinating because we talk about these things sometimes like they're a consensus, right? Like, ooh, a lot of people are starting to. At the end of the day, only one person is going to make this decision, and that person is in Chicago. But, Dan, I know you've said it to me many times. If you had the first pick in this draft and you needed a quarterback, who would you take?
Yeah, I would take Jaden Daniels. It's been that way since the moment I started to study this year's draft class. And the moments when you watched him be the best player in the field in multiple games, the Florida game, the Alabama game, the Missouri game. I think you have to ask yourself this, Greeny. If we are honest about the quarterback situation present day in the NFL, what are the traits or skill sets that allow the top six or top eight guys to be the top six or top eight guys on a consistent basis? Okay? Not the, oh my gosh, the jaw-dropping stuff. Stop telling me every guy's going to be Patrick Mahomes, okay? Stop. Number one, the decision-making. The decision-making is about how well you process information. What's my play? What's the defense? Ball gets snapped. What am I supposed to do with the football? On a consistent basis, Jaden Daniels does that the best in this class. Number two, ball placement, not accuracy. Accuracy, throwing to your guys. Ball placement, throwing away from the defense. Okay, I get the ball. The coverage is this. It's tight in the NFL. Where do I throw it to get that completion in that moment? Jaden Daniels does it the best in this class. I think if we're honest about who the best quarterbacks are on a consistent basis, year in and year out in the NFL, and where these guys are, Caleb's unbelievably talented. Jaden's the best guy in the draft for me.
Harry, what do you think?
Yeah, for me, QB1 is still Caleb Williams. And it's not just the 2023 tape, but you got to go back to 2022, the year he actually won the Heisman, when he had his number one wide receiver in Jordan Addison. And I keep hearing when we talk about Drake May, how he didn't have certain wide receivers last year in 2023. But we can make the same case for Caleb Williams as well for 2023. But also, I'm going to go back to 2021 when he was a freshman at Oklahoma. Just coming into big-time ball games in one of the biggest rivalries in college football, not being a starter, but being asked to come in on fourth down and make plays with his legs, being able to step up in the pocket and throw a touchdown pass to Marvin Mims and putting the ball placing the ball only where his guy can catch a touchdown. Those are the things that I like when it comes to Caleb Williams. And if you're Ryan Poles, you're in a situation where you have to do your due diligence on both of these guys, right? You have to grind that tape out, not just 1 year, 2023, but from the moment these guys stepped onto the college football field, and find any and everything that you can. And he also has a leg up because he was the director of college scouting when he was with the Kansas City Chiefs when they drafted Patrick Mahomes. So if you see any kind of similar traits in these guys, then you got to make that decision and go ahead and draft who you feel like is best fit for the Chicago Bears.
As you can tell, there's a lot to be said about this, and I'm going to save some more time for this a little later. The Draymond thing was something we didn't expect to sort of blow up last night. But at the end of the day, is there any reason to believe that the Bears are starting to change their minds here in the way that Dan Orlovsky and Lewis Riddick and many others have changed theirs?
There is not, but they're still going through the process. Remember, they spent 3 days with Caleb Williams in Los Angeles last week, trying to get to know him as well as they could to feel good about the pick. He still has not made his top 30 visit to Chicago. which means he still hasn't had a physical. They're not going to draft him without that. So keep an eye on what happens. It's still possible something unforeseen could happen to move the Bears off of Caleb Williams. But right now, there's no reason to feel that way.
There is at least some intrigue at number one, and Drake May's pro day is today. So there's so much going on with all this. We'll have Lewis Riddick a little later. Orlowski, as you can tell, has a lot to say. We'll dive into all of it. In the meantime, let me take a very quick break on what is a very busy morning. Is Dallas due for a decline? We got the over-unders for the season. Wait till you hear what everyone here thinks. Plus, the King returned last night. The Lakers looking good. Are they legit? We'll answer all your questions. Stay right there. It's Get Up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by DirecTV. Now stream DirecTV satellite free. All right, the totals are up at ESPN Bet, and so let's play a game of more or less. Orlowski, more or less 9.5 wins for the Packers this year.
I'm going to say more. This is a football team that obviously put a hammer down on the Dallas Cowboys and really pushed the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs. This is going to be a strength offensive line-wise. Josh Jacobs, the addition, and they got their young, talented quarterback. Incredible game experience, and you saw him just consistently climb. A much aggressive defense under Jeff Hafley takes this team more.
I'm totally with you. You're going to hear from Jordan Love a little later in this hour. Graz, the number's 11.5 on the Chiefs. What do you think?
I think it's going to be more. And look, I was ready to say less because that's a big number. The AFC is tough. They won 11 this year. But they went over this number each of the previous 5 years. I'm just done underestimating the Chiefs. Whatever they want to do, as long as Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are there, I'll just say more. I'll pick them to win the Super Bowl. Like, keep going, guys. It's just a historic run. They deserve every benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, the operative number there is 15 more than anything else. Harry, 10.5 is the number in Dallas. Which way do you go?
I'm going to go less. I really don't like the moves that they haven't made when it comes to free agency. On top of, you look at their schedule and the opponents that they have to play next year, You do have the Eagles twice in your division. The Commanders are going to be better. I'm not worried about the Giants when it comes to the Cowboys, but they play the AFC North. That's the Steelers, the Bengals, the Browns, the Ravens, on top of the Houston Texans, the 49ers, the Lions. So I really don't see this team winning over 10.5 games, so I'm going to go less.
You know, it's a little spoiler alert. We ask everyone their takes on these more or lesses. And Orlovsky, every single person on the show today went less on the Cowboys, 10.5 wins. This is a team that's won 12 games each of the last several seasons. Why do you say less?
Well, they have five starters that don't have positions filled right now. They lost their defensive coordinator, Greeny. I'll go to their offensive line, okay? They have one known quantity or person on their offensive line. Mm-hmm. Right guard, Zach Martin. Okay, Tyler Smith is on their left side. We'll see what position he plays. So you could sit here and tell me he's going to play one and be good at it. But that gives you at least three unknowns on their offensive line. Let me give Cowboys fans a truth serum here. You got three picks in the top 174 in the NFL draft. So you have five starters on your football team that have roles to be filled. At least three on your offensive line are giant question marks. You ain't only got three picks in your top 174 in the NFL draft. So they're a lesser football team. And that's what it goes back to, the contract and Dak and what they're going to do. This is a football team that has lesser talent than they did last year, but greater expectations. That doesn't bode well in the NFL.
Plus, I'm 100% in agreement, plus a quarterback and a coach for all intents and purposes going into the final years of their contracts. So it all adds up to a lot of drama. And there doesn't seem to be any end in sight for this, right? They're going to be underneath this Dak contract until and unless they get something worked out. And everywhere I turn, I hear people saying they're not going to get it done.
Yeah, I don't think it actually makes more salary cap sense to wait until next offseason to do the extension.
Right.
Because right now you have a $55 million cap hit this year, but also a $40 million cap hit for next year when he's not currently scheduled to be on the team. So that's all dead money. You'd have to probably add to that if you did an extension now. So they're very conscious of that. They don't think the cap's going to go up another $30 million next year like it did this year. So if they can take the bigger hit this year and absorb that pain this year, that would be their preference. Obviously, as Dan is going to point out, that raises some risk, right? Because as you get closer to his free agency, that's a higher risk of losing him. But Cowboys believe their relationship with the player is such that they can do this. And at this point, barring some significant change, I would not expect Dak extension until next offseason.
Go ahead, Dan.
Question, Grass. You keep saying next year to do an extension. Mm-hmm. Am I right to say he would be a free agent? If he plays the end of this season to the end of this season, he is a free agent no matter what. Now, he could re-sign with Dallas. Am I right to say that? He's free?
Well, they would be the only team that could negotiate with him up until, you know, March 15th or whenever the league year starts. So they would still have that time to do an extension before anybody else could make him an offer.
Just like the Vikings did with Kirk Cousins.
Correct.
Yeah, go ahead.
My thing with that is this. Dak Prescott plays this year. No contract extension. He's going to play good to really good. If he repeats last year's season and plays top five MVP level football, okay, but they don't win the NFC Championship, he is going to be a $65 million quarterback in Dallas if he stays in Dallas. He's just going to be. That's just – or he's going to walk. And that's why I sit here and – Graz, I know that number's outrageous. That's just what it's going to be. His agents did a really good job with this contract. They're going to do an ever even better one with the next one.
65's big. The 55's the top of the market right now. A $10 million jump in one off season doesn't sound like the NFL I know.
But the point remains, he's going to be an extremely expensive commodity, yeah, however you do it, and they're behind the eight ball. Let me get Harry in real quick. Go ahead, Harry. 30 seconds left. Go.
Yeah, I just feel like if you're Jerry Jones, if you feel like Dak Prescott is the guy that can lead you to the promised land, then you sign him.
Well, he obviously,
obviously
does.
I don't know if Jerry Jones feels that way right now currently because he doesn't have the extension. But if you're Dak Prescott, you say to yourself, let me pull a Joe Flacco like he did in 2012 and bet on himself. Then you can name your own price.
That's the key point. You can't just say, well, Jerry should sign it. Dak has to want to sign it too. And his contract, as Dan pointed out, loads up the leverage on his side to the point where he doesn't have to do a single thing. He can wait. Free agency is his worst case scenario, and that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, look, it's worked out really well for Kirk Cousins. That's the model. Kirk Cousins has made as much money as probably any football player that ever lived, and Dak Prescott is going to be right in that category no matter how it goes. Yes, he's an Atlanta Falcon now, and Harry and I both believe they've got a lot of winning to do. All right, we'll pause briefly on that
Chris Rock today.
As we continue, if you're just joining us, it happened again last night. More Draymond drama. What does it mean? Don't miss the debate next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on Get Up, and as we approach the bottom of the hour, we go back to our top story of the morning. We had a lot of things planned this morning, and then this happened again. Draymond Green, less than four minutes into last night's critical game for the Warriors in Orlando, thrown out for arguing two technicals, as you see him toss from the game, a game that the Warriors would ultimately find a way to win late in the action. But the big storyline here continues to be Draymond, and again, Tim Legler and Jay Williams, lots of folks joining us here at the bottom of the hour who were not here at the beginning of the conversation. This it goes without saying that when this is Draymond Green, it obviously is going to get more focus and more attention. How egregious would you describe this night as being?
Incredibly selfish, inexcusable, and I'm tired of prefacing these moments by saying everything he's done for the organization. I'm not going to do that anymore. I used to do that every time these conversations came up. Yeah, but where would they be without Draymond? Now I don't want to hear it anymore. Those two things aren't mutually exclusive, right? This is inexcusable, and here's why, Greeny. This team is hanging by a rope over a cliff right now.
Yeah.
And they desperately want to get in. And get by the way, more than anybody else, more than Steve Kerr, more than the franchise, you owe Curry. You owe Steph Curry to be out there on this night.
Yeah.
And he just walks 4 minutes into a game that they have to have. And miraculously, they found a way to win the game on a night where they didn't play particularly well, but they played hard, and Curry was great late.
For those of you who haven't seen it, the most interesting part of it all to me is Steph's reaction. Steph Curry looked so dejected. I opened the show, but there he is right there. You saw it. And at the end of the game, when they win, he's kicking over chairs. So Draymond got ejected, and Steph looked dejected. And that felt like it was very different from previous incidents with him.
I've been around Steph Curry since his time at Davidson. Legs, you spent time with him. He's always an upbeat person. He's always excited about the opportunity. That's the face of somebody who is exhausted. They're mentally exhausted. He's checked out on Draymond Green. You even saw at the end where he comes out of the tunnel, Draymond's going night-night. He daps him, but he just keeps walking. Like, it's the same old story again. And the one thing I'll say about it, too, as it relates to Draymond, it's diminishing returns. At some point, when you're hanging on by the thread, if you're Mike Dunleavy, you have to look at the situation and say, okay, Draymond, I get it. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, 3 years ago, you were engaging. But right now, you're hurting us more than you're helping us.
Yeah, those guys are spent. They're spent. That's what Steph Curry's reaction was. Absolutely worn out by all of this. And now here they find themselves in this tunnel vision of a stretch of games to end the season, trying to hold off a team that's trying to run them down from behind, that is red hot in the Houston Rockets. And you literally leave your teammates out there by themselves. There's no other word. Selfish is the only word that pops in my head.
And one more. First of all, Kuminga wasn't playing. Right? Then Draymond's out. Wasn't it only a couple of days ago, Legs, that Steve Kerr was like, I can't play Steph 35 minutes.
Yep,
I can't play. So wait a second. Now all of a sudden you're telling me in this moment where you're trying to get geared up to make the run for the play-in tournament, you're trying to reserve your best player who's given, as Steve Kerr said, over 15 years of giving way more to the organization, then you do something like this.
It's a great point.
At this moment, so it forces Steph to do more when you want him to do less?
By the way, Greeny, you're talking about also the two guys most responsible for guarding their best player, and Kuminga's already out. The other guy's Draymond Green in guarding Pablo Banchero. And now you leave them shorthanded. You leave them undersized. And somehow, miraculously, they win the game. Give them all the credit in the world.
The weird thing. Can I say one last thing, Greeny?
Of course. You could say as many things as you
want. Legs and I were talking about this. We're both hot about this.
Yeah.
So then Draymond, who has a great podcast, goes on his podcast most of the time and talks about how good of a teammate he is. Think about that contradiction. Like, he's always talking about how all the things he stands up for his team, but yet he continues to show consistent behavior at not thinking about his teammates when he's actually on the floor.
It's the greatest contradiction. It's a sample of the best teammate you could possibly have and the worst, because he operates in his own world of his own emotions at times that absolutely do not put the team first. And it's a team sport. This is tennis. Go ahead, man. Vent at the line. Judge all you want.
Right.
You're the only person that's going to pay the price. You play golf? Great. Scream at your caddy. You're not going to pay a price. This is a team sport.
Right.
They're counting on you. And by the way, number 30 has put rings on fingers and money in bank accounts. And that guy needs you out there.
I am not in any way defending Draymond.
You better not say a but. Do not say a but.
No but. I'm going to say a but.
Please don't put a but on the end of this, Green.
How many times have we seen a moment, you brought it up earlier, where Draymond just loses it, and the next thing you know, he's in a violent confrontation or something. That's not what this was. This was a slow build. This was like a slow burn.
Actually, it wasn't.
It took forever.
He put his hand on the referee.
But that was a long time.
I hear that.
What I'm saying is there was ample opportunity. Like, Steph is standing there. Chris Paul is standing there. There's a bunch of people standing there just listening to him yelling at the referee. And you're going to tell me that they're just too exhausted of this to do it. But someone, I think, needs to, recognizing what's happening here, turn around and just forcibly move him away.
You know how many times they've tried to do that, though, over the course of his career?
Well, I know, but he's not out of control in this game.
You're saying there's time for an intervention. And I'm saying that those guys are acting like, the rest of that team is acting like, you know, you got that friend that every time you go out, you're hanging out, the guy wants to get in a fight with somebody.
There he goes again.
At some point, you let him get his ass kicked.
Go ahead. Yeah, there we go. No, you're 1,000%. And like, hey, what do you want me to do? And by the way, Greeny, right. I hear you on the slow burn on that. I can yell at Tim all day long. As soon as I go like that,
right.
As soon as I put my hands on him,
right.
That's a different
thing. No, again, I'm not questioning him getting thrown out. I'm just saying it wasn't like an instantaneous moment in this case where all of a sudden he's got someone by the neck. He's just yelling, and I felt like someone could have gotten in there and just said, get the hell out of the way. And to your point, maybe that just illustrates the degree to which these guys just can't take it anymore. All right, so there's more on that as we go. Meantime, Sweet 16 is tonight.
Let him get
Jay down. Will
let
is
let
here.
Beat
Let's
like
shoot
that.
The Jay. Here we go. I got some questions about the teams playing tonight.
Let's do it.
Carolina's playing tonight. Is this the best team they've had since the last time they won a title? Is it better
than
the team 2 years ago?
They were just in the national championship 2 years ago. And by the way, I think that team was more explosive in the backcourt. I will say that this team has better chemistry. I think the team 2 years ago was more talented. This team has better chemistry.
All right, we have two seeds playing tonight, Arizona and Iowa State. Which one's on upset alert?
I'm probably going to say Iowa State because they're going against Illinois. Mm-hmm. Terrence Shannon Jr., one of the most prolific scorers in the country, and they run a ton of ISO. I think that's going to be a really tough matchup for Iowa State.
And then after we saw the first weekend, are you taking UConn or the field to win the championship?
I mean, look, the smart play is always to take the field. That's 15 teams that are going to choose over UConn, but UConn is the best team top to bottom in the NCAA tournament. But Greeny, as you and I know, it takes one poor game. The best team doesn't always win the tournament.
And let's make one thing very clear, with no smile on our face, no sarcasm
Try
in our voice,
smile.
No semblance of kidding around, UConn would definitely not beat an NBA team. When I said to you, hey, UConn or the Celtics in a best of seven, who wins? And the world seems to have taken that seriously.
We were joking.
I mean,
it was a joke.
As God is my witness, we were kidding, but what can I tell you? All right, stay close by. We'll do much more on this as we go. In the meantime, back to the NFL. Let's play Sound Off. Jason Kelce, Saquon Barkley, talking about the Eagles' tush push. Listen to this.
Do not go down at the 1 yard line. You got to go down at the two.
Yeah, yeah.
Go down at the one.
It's curtains.
Yep. They didn't ban it. Yeah. They didn't ban it.
Yep.
Jalen's going to get that. He's going to get
gonna
that every time.
A little extra motivation there, you know? That's just know, don't go down at the one. You got to find a way to get end zone.
The tush push lives. Harry Douglas, go.
Hey, man, I live this. I used to play with a running back named Michael Turner. And every time a receiver got tackled inside the 5 yard line, we would run to the sidelines. He would come in the game and he would yell, "Thank you." And we would just be mad as hell at ourselves because we left so many touchdowns on the field and gave them to Michael Burner to Turner.
What do you think? Is this thing still going to work, Dan, without Jason Kelce? Like, was he the most important part of the success of the tush push?
I think so. I was adamant about that. You know, Kelce, because of the leverage that he played with, the strength that he had, I understand how strong Jalen and his legs are, but I think Kelce not being there is going to be a deterrent to doing this as much as they did. They, I mean, Nick Sirianni, their head coach, would say that they would treat first and 10 like essentially like first and 9 because they knew they would go for it so consistently. So I don't know if the tush push is going to be as prevalent for Philadelphia as it was with Jason Kelce.
We'll find out. One more sound off here, and this one, Graziano, we'll start with you. The Packers, Jordan Love, we talked about how good we think this team is going to be this year. Here's the QB talking about his Super Bowl aspirations.
The organization believes that, you know, it's the perfect time to have a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. And those conversations we had after that 49ers game were, man, like, work harder. Try and find ways to get better because next year we're going to do it.
That was from The Pivot with RC and the guys. So we do our overreactions, Dan. Is it an overreaction to say the Packers are the biggest threat to San Francisco in the NFC?
It is. I mean, look, they lost to San Francisco in the second round of the playoffs. There's a team in their own division that lost to San Francisco in the next round, right? Yeah. They're still going to have to overcome the Detroit Lions. I think the NFC looks stronger in terms of the depth of quality teams than we thought it was a year ago. I think the LA Rams are coming up, and they're going to challenge the 49ers in their own division. Packers are right there. They deserve consideration, but I think it's too soon to say that this young Packers team is the biggest threat to the Niners.
Orlovsky.
Yeah, before Aaron Donald retired from the Los Angeles Rams, I felt that they were the best team to go and knock San Francisco off. There's three now post Aaron Donald, and the Rams are not in there. Green Bay, Detroit, and Philadelphia are the three teams that I think are best equipped to beat San Francisco. Detroit is only going to surge. Obviously, the draft last year was a huge hit. I think the addition of DJ Reader for Detroit is huge. Here's the biggest thing for Green Bay. Jeff Hafley, who is their new defensive coordinator. The biggest complaint about the Green Bay Packers of the past couple years is how soft they've been schematically on defense. Hafley is not that. Hafley is going to get up in people's faces. He's going to play man coverage. They're going to come after defenses. So I think Green Bay, Detroit, and the Philadelphia Eagles are most equipped.
Harry, I like the question. Are the Packers the biggest threat in the NFC to San Francisco?
No, I got the Detroit Lions, and I love the way they address the defensive needs. Getting DJ Reader, Marcus Davenport, and also trading for Carlton Davis, a secondary need piece. I can't wait to see what they're going to do in the NFL draft because they knocked it out of the park a year ago.
Harry, you and I both know Atlanta is a team that is flying under the radar. Those Falcons, when they have a big defensive draft, they're a team to watch closely as we work our way towards
that.
In the meantime,
the words coming out my mouth. Sorry, what? Just looks like Chris Rock. I'm sorry.
How many games does Russell Wilson need to win to keep the Steelers' starting job? Is Pittsburgh a legitimate playoff contender? We'll dive into that quarterback situation as we continue. And then, oh, it's baseball's opening day. Is it championship or bust from the Dodgers? Can Judge and Soto carry the Yankees? The great Jessica Mendoza is in the house, and she's ready to preview baseball 2024 next. We are back on Get Up, and as I mentioned, ESPN Bet has released the NFL totals for the upcoming season. Let's do some more. Orlovsky, Bears, 8.5 wins. You going more or less?
I'm going to go more, Greeny, just because of the defense. You know, the last three times that we've seen teams with rookie quarterbacks start the whole season that have had really good defenses, they've eclipsed that. Houston this past year with C.J. Stroud, 2021, Mac Jones in New England, and then 2016, Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys all had top 11 defenses. I think the Bears have one as well.
I like it. Harry, let's go to your beloved Birds. The Falcons' number is 9.5 wins, more or less?
I'm going to go more. Getting Kirk Cousins in free agency now allows the Atlanta Falcons to focus more so on the NFL draft. Also, I like the signing of Darnell Mooney and also trading for Rondale Moore. So I think Kirk Cousins is going to be able to unlock this young talent that they have, in which they drafted number 4 overall in 2021. Kyle Pitts, 2022 at 8, Drake London, and then last year, Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, and they can take a defensive player at 8 if they want to. Graz, the Steelers' total is 8.5, more or less?
I mean, more, right? Are they playing 17 games this year?
That's right.
Is 8.5 half of that? I mean, right. like, is Mike Tomlin still the coach who's never had a losing season? Look, there are questions about the Steelers. You know, can they have the playoff success that has eluded them for so long? What the quarterback situation will shake out. But, I mean, as long as Tomlin's there, I know they're winning 9. They won 10 last year without an offense.
Yeah, with far lesser quarterback play than we expect them to have this year. Orlovsky, help me here. A lot of folks who were not with us yesterday, handicap this quarterback thing for us. How do you expect this to play out with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Russell Wilson right now is in pole position, in Mike Tomlin's words. I think it's going to be hard for him not to be their starting quarterback just because I don't think he's going to be somebody who tries to do too much. They're trying to get a risk-averse quarterback a little bit right now. And I know that Justin Fields is going to be given the, at least publicly, the opportunity to display what he can and is capable of doing. I don't know if that's going to be enough in the preseason. I think if this was a true competition, Greeny, true open competition, Justin Fields would be the starting quarterback. But that's got to be the case. And right now, that's not necessarily what's being said publicly. Two things I think are important context-wise in this situation. One, all due credit to Pittsburgh. They got 10 wins last year. I think they beat Jake Browning once, and then they beat essentially a Lamar-less Baltimore Ravens twice in some capacity. So some of those wins, 5-1 record in the division, we have to put it into context. The second thing is they have to draft a wide receiver early in this draft. It cannot just be the George Pickens show. He's not consistent enough, and he's not reliable enough. Talented, yes, but they got to get somebody outside of him as well.
They have the 20th pick, and there are a bunch of good wide receivers who will be available there, we would assume. Harry Douglas, how good are the Steelers going to be, and who's their quarterback going to be?
Well, I think they're going to be really good. I like the addition of Arthur Smith, but I think it's important at the quarterback position with both of these guys. And, Dan, I heard you say this previous weeks ago that taking care of the football is the most important. Eliminating the negative plays is going to be most important in Pittsburgh because you have such a great defense. So when it comes to Russell Wilson, can he orchestrate this offense and take care of the football? Can he galvanize those guys from an offensive unit and be on the same page? And for Justin Fields, you continuously work hard and try to be the starting quarterback. You don't go into this situation saying, you know what, I'm probably going to be the backup. Hell no. That's not the mindset to have. You go in there and try to win the starting job and do everything you can to get on the football field.
Very quickly, Graziano, I mean, they're saying, Tomlin is saying, it's Russell Wilson's job and we'll see what Justin can do. Do we take them at their word that is the way they approach it?
I do. Everything we've ever seen about Mike Tomlin indicates that we should, that it'll be a real competition and that Justin Fields will have a chance to win the job.
Yeah, that to me is going to be the interesting part of all of this. Both those guys, it's all well and good for them to have a good quarterback room. Mm-hmm. For each of them, to at least some degree, their careers are kind of in the balance.
100%.
On how this plays out. By them, I mean Russell Wilson and Justin himself. So we'll see how that all works. So those are the more or less for the football season. Well, folks, let me very happily say happy opening day. And Jessica Mendoza is here for the start of the baseball season. Let's do some more or lesses from ESPN Bet for baseball. The Yankees number, Jess, is 91.5 wins. Are we going more or less?
I've got more. And that's a big shock to a lot of people, especially Gerrit Cole starting on the IL. But this team is not 25th in baseball in their offensive production. In fact, they added Juan Soto. They got Alex Verdugo. Aaron Judge will have runners on base for a change when he slugs, and you know that's going to happen. I really believe the Yankees are going to win over 91 games.
I mean, fascinating season for them. Let's go to the Braves, more or less. Their total is 101.5 wins.
This is the best team in baseball on paper, Greeny. They led last year in every single offensive category. Ronald Acuna Jr., by the way, 73 steals, 4-1 home runs. I feel like that does not get old. They add Chris Sale. They add Jared Kelenic. This team got even better.
And then let's go to the Dodgers, who are the other team that, at least in theory, got much, much, much better with the addition of Shohei Ohtani. And then we wait and see where that winds up netting out. Their total is 103.5. What do you think?
I've got less. And the reason is, Greeny, is this team, it's not about the regular season. They know they can win 110 games. Shoot, they could break the record. But what does that matter if you don't win in October? Mm-hmm. So I see this team getting the division, doing what they need to do, shutting it down so they can finally produce when it matters most.
Yeah, October has not been kind to them. Now, the Shohei Ohtani thing obviously hangs over the entire sport. You and I were having a long conversation about it. It is a situation in which there are right now infinitely more questions than there are answers. My question for you is, how should we expect it to impact him and them on the field as the season starts?
It's going to depend on how much more truth comes out. And I feel like there is still a lot more questions, as you mentioned, that need to be answered. I feel like it's not going to impact him until more information that goes against his statement. If the things that he's saying is not true, that is going to be a massive distraction, especially when you think about how deep it goes. My biggest takeaway from that whole entire thing, though, is I don't believe the first time that he found out Greeny was in front of the whole team like everyone else, which then tells me what else is there to uncover. Now, I feel like this is going to take a long time, and no one compartmentalizes better than Shohei Ohtani. He's already shown that.
That's really the point. I have said many times now on my radio show, I find the specific version of the events he is offering right now to be very difficult to believe. But to your point, it feels like it's going to be a very long time before this is adjudicated one way or another. So to use the overused term distraction, is this going to be one that impacts the Dodgers?
No. I really believe Shohei Ohtani, unless something dramatic happens that takes him off the field, which I agree with you, I don't see something like that happening over the course of this season. I firmly believe that Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers are able to put this behind them. The media is still going to ask questions. They're still going to come after him. But what he's shown so far is his ability to take big events like this and still be able to play ball. And that's exactly what he's going to do throughout the season.
And then let me circle back to the Yankees here, because you said the name Juan Soto, and that obviously is such an interesting X factor. The news on Gerrit Cole's elbow, it could have been worse. So that actually worked out pretty well for them. Judge, and now the addition of Soto. Just another thought on what you expect him to add to a Yankee team with high expectations.
He's going to slug and he's going to get on base. And this is exactly what the Yankees needed. I mean, this is someone who's going to hit in front of Aaron Judge. The fact that he's going to have someone on base, Greeny, Aaron Judge career-wise has 99 home runs. 64 of them are solo shots. Like, wrap your mind around that. The dude hits bombs. We know it, but no one's on base. Juan Soto is going to a stadium for lefties. You could not ask for a better one. And he's left the Padres where it was like the worst for him. Mm-hmm. So him being able to slug, and what he does the best is also get on base in front of Aaron Judge.
All right. What you do best is smash the helmets here. No one has ever done it better, to the point that we actually had to alter some things in the studio. We'll do it a little bit later this morning. Jessica, we've deemed you dangerous to our equipment. That's basically what's happened. All right. It's opening day. And we got baseball coming for you here. We got the defending champs, the Rangers, hosting the Cubs tonight, 7:30 Eastern, and you'll see it exclusively on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Coming up, it happened again. If you were just joining us, drama with Draymond, to the point now where it feels like the most important people have had enough. Don't miss it off the top of the hour. Plus, Jaden Daniels showing out at his pro day. Lewis Riddick was there. He will join us to answer the question, should this kid go number one? That's next.